Yo, Black, it's time.
Word,
it's time, man. It's time, man.
Alright, begin.
Yeah, straight out the fucking dungeons of rap, where fake niggas don't make it back. I don't know how to start this. Rappers are monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. I be kicking, musician, inflicting composition. A pain, I'm like Scarface sniffing.
Here we are.
Fuck
after,
yeah.
Completing the third and final day of Skankfest 2019. Shaking up some OJ.
Fuck yeah.
You really like that orange juice.
I'm making a clap. That's the sex zone.
I think this festival has your mind in the gutter. It's had a negative effect on you.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Sorry, yeah. It's a little giddy.
Yeah, so we're through. It's probably a decade's worth of professional live comedy shows.
I think so, yeah. That would probably be right. Yeah, a decade. Yeah, definitely.
If we went to see all these people, like, I don't know. And there were so many of them that I probably would travel to just go see them.
Yeah.
A show.
Yeah, for sure. Like who? There was just...
A lot of them. The distance, I guess, depends on caliber.
So, who would you travel to... Moncton to go watch.
I would go to Moncton to see most of the people that we saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would vary. Like Attell, I would probably make a trip. I don't know. Let's use Portland, Maine as the benchmark. That's like a 5-hour drive.
We didn't did we talk about the drive at all?
Yeah.
Did we get into the drive?
I think we did that in the airport.
I don't think it was as... Do you remember
We talked about coming into New York, and I only almost crashed once.
But I don't think it was as painful as we both of us anticipated. Did you find it as painful as you anticipated it? Maybe I anticipated it to be...
It's more painful than, you know, the flight that we paid for.
Yes.
And painful in that we lost an entire night in New York City. But yes. Do you mean the actual driving?
Yes. The actual act of driving. Yes, I mean to be... Yeah, to not have that entire night in New York City was real bummer, but I feel like the next 4 days sort of attempted to make up for that lost night.
It was a successful trip. I don't like being... this is only like my fourth time flying, but it's hard to go back... Yeah, like when I have the option to fly, like I really don't want. I want to fly anywhere that's more than a 5-hour drive for the rest of my life.
Never drive.
I don't want to drive more than 5 hours.
How about a train? Would you take a train?
Probably. I think that takes longer than
you ever
driving.
Taken a train?
I think I did once when I was a kid. I would give it a shot.
Nice.
But like if you're on a train, you're not really. You can fuck around. You can read a book.
Yes.
Watch something.
Yes.
Whatever in the car, you're kind of locked in.
Yeah, I think it's just having active, but
also incredibly boring.
I mean, I think there's a certain kind of person who just loves that activity of just long drives and just being by yourself and listening to the radio and
I do to a certain extent.
But you work
driving for work, like getting, like, this is my work day, I'd rather be sitting behind the wheel than behind a desk, probably.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not every day, but it's a nice diversion.
Yeah.
When you're being paid to do it, when it's just, I didn't want to spend the extra money on a flight, and that is the only reason I'm driving. Not into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, you're right.
The first time I ever got on a plane was probably like 7 years ago, I think. I went to Vegas. What else did we fly to? I flew to Newfoundland a couple of years ago. That was a real short flight. and flew to Montreal last summer, which was way, way better than like a 10-hour each way drive in the car and having to navigate even Montreal traffic. The New York, the route that we took wasn't too bad, and it was at like midnight, so even less bad. But I couldn't imagine like going to Manhattan in a car and going to a hotel or something.
Well, I mean, we would might as well just set the car on fire, I think.
You know, I've got this white privilege, and I'm gonna fucking use it. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Well, I've
flying. Just throwing money at plane tickets. That's the plan for me.
Just, you like to throw money into the plane tickets and then just frack in every city that you're in.
Yep, and I'm just going to say lewd things to stewardesses. And
yeah, just pinch your bottom.
And throw balled up $100 bills at them. Be like, shut up, toots.
Yeah, shut up, toots. Listen, make me a pastrami sandwich, whore
bag. Yeah, you gotta be specific. You don't want to leave it up to them which type of sandwich that they make for you.
No. And to be honest, I mean, look at the way they dress. I mean, those air stewardesses, I imagine, just spilling out of their dresses. Look at them. Look at those Air Canada stewardesses with their tits spilling out of their three-piece blazers.
So
how dare they?
This is the effect that 3 days of Skankfest comedy has on a person. Twitter is right. We've heard that Twitter is ablaze with anti-Louis at Skankfest sentiment. All I've seen is the four tweets from Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah, we don't really. I mean, I guess
I've Googled a couple of times Louis C.K. Skankfest, and nothing comes up other than just Reddit threads, obviously. Yeah.
It's probably a handful of tweets.
I don't really know how to. I don't know Twitter well enough that I can, you know, figure out what are people saying about Louis at Skankfest. Like, I can, I could search for like the Skankfest hashtag, but I feel like anybody that's complaining about Louis being at Skankfest probably isn't using like the Skankfest hashtag, which would only promote the show, or like directly mentioning Louis.
You know, sometimes
is Louis even still on Twitter?
No. You know, when sometimes people have long conversations about, or like long attempts at explaining what is happening on Twitter, it becomes, for a person of my age, the equivalent of listening to someone attempt to talk about Fortnite for a long period of time. You know, it's what's your skill score, and what's your house building metric, or whatever the hell they...
Well, how's that different? You're the one that's, not as much lately, but you're always the one that's like, see, comedy's dying, this is what this blog says. It's all part of the same thing as Twitter, isn't it?
I'm not trying to make a political argument, I'm just attempting to make a joke, that's all.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really trying to... Well, thank you, I mean, your disapproval is really cutting.
We've experienced a lot of comedy, so I'm not...
We're just
numb to the whole thing.
It is true.
So today...
Yes.
We diverted a little bit in the morning. You went for a nice brunch with a friend.
Yes, at a Tibetan brunch place, which is, I mean, it's just lovely just to be in that. Some good people, some normal people who are not interested in things like show business. And, you know, it was good. It was good to hang out with just regular people for a while.
Yeah, I walked 30 minutes to get some empanadas, and they were very good.
Yeah.
The Empanadas Cafe, and then went for a little...
You went for a 30 little, minutes?
It was like a 30-minute walk.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they have breakfast empanadas?
Yeah. Well, I got three different kinds. We already had this conversation. Or I guess if it's for the podcast. I don't know if it was for the podcaster, because you forgot. Anyway, I did get a ham and and eggs.
Obviously, it's for the... Okay, it's obviously,
I'm
it's for the
podcast. Burned out. It's been a long weekend.
Shut up, John! You just fight over the...
I had a ham and bacon and egg empanada.
That sounds good.
I had a cheese and jalapeno one. Ooh. And I had a beef one.
Nice.
They were each a different kind of like outer dope. Shell of the empanada. One of them was like corn, and one of them was a whole wheat. And
did you get the crunchy one?
Well, they were all deep fried. So they were
all deep fried, of course. But the empanadas, right? Yeah.
And then from there, I went to the Queen's Zoo, which was not like a huge zoo, but it was a nice way to spend 45 minutes.
Bigger than Cherry Brook?
I haven't been there in a long time, but
Cherry Brook is brutal, dude. They had to put down one of the tigers.
I feel like it's a lot less sad than the Cherry Brook Zoo.
Yeah,
there wasn't any like big ticket animals though.
Like, how about the guinea pigs? Did the guinea pigs freeze? That's what happened to the Cherry Brook Zoo.
No, I was not aware of that situation.
Yeah, it was a big tragedy. It's a horrible tragedy.
The zoo has something that you can just go buy at the pet store and keep in your house.
They were some sort of South American guinea pigs. Honestly, okay. I couldn't tell the difference between those guinea pigs and but they were very cute.
Well, when they froze to death, they should have just thrown them in the garbage and gone down to the PetSmart and get some new ones.
Beautiful. Yeah, they should have. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to tell the difference, really. But yes, and I can't imagine that they were... they're very cute, and it was a huge tragedy, but I can't imagine they're an endangered species, those guinea pigs, right? You don't think of guinea pigs are...
I don't know.
I don't think so, but anyway, it's got nothing to do with comedy.
Ask Greenpeace.
Who did a joke about that? Oh, speaking of which,
somebody was saying they had...
A friend who got somebody's
tattoo.
Dan Soder.
It was Eddie Vedder's tattoo that was Greenpeace.
Yeah, Joe List was talking about how he had a friend who got a Greenpeace tattoo because it was Eddie Vedder's tattoo.
The other guy, who was the guy Brandon. On Tuesdays with Stories I never heard of?
Martin Norman and Joe List?
No, the guest.
Oh, the Brendan Sagalow?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, he was. He's got a PUNX Punks tattoo on his hand that was the same as Billy Joe Armstrong, and he was wearing a Green Day T-shirt. There was lots of Green Day references for a little bit.
It's pretty funny.
Did Green Day make it into your?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I got that first album, the
Dookie.
Dookie, yes, I remember. I got the tape. I had the tape.
Yeah,
and I used to listen to it.
Do
you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything?
We do. Everyone right now, they have the time. They're listening to us. I remember they played in Fredericton when I was in junior high. I wanted to go so bad, but too young to be going to an out of town concert. I think Jason went, didn't he?
I don't know. Sentiment that you uttered? Damn it.
That's a Blink 182.
Damn it.
Wasn't into them.
Shit.
close, RF.
Because they referenced Blink 182 as well.
It was Blink 182. No, they played in Fredericton when I was in junior high. I wanted to go, but obviously, like, I have no idea how I would have gotten there. I found out later that there was a big scandal because they, like, came out naked or something.
Yes.
To an audience full of children.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would have been controversial, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's fucking Me Too Green Day. Nobody knows about that. Oh, yeah. Shit. Well, Twitter.
It would have been only a problem if they fucked one of the children
Green
afterwards.
Day exposed their genitals to some of my junior high school classmates in 1995.
Quite frankly, those kids should be happy that they're heroes, that they got to see the limp, shriveled penises of their heroes. Like, that's really big. That's nice of their heroes to show their penises to them.
How many teenagers do you think had posters on their wall of the Red Hot Chili Peppers wearing cock socks?
I don't know. Around here, in my neck of the woods, Red Hot Chili Peppers was considered sort of very, very, very edgy and sort of, you know, very dangerous. Like, everything in the Middle East, anything... anything that wasn't sort of sitar Bollywood music, including Matchbox 20, was considered
Well, Matchbox 20 is very violent music. They're always talking about how he's going to push you around. I will. Just in case there was any question about whether you were going to get
Dude,
pushed
I didn't
around.
Think about, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty... Oh, man.
So we started out the day with the Tuesdays with Stories podcast with Mark Norman and Joe List with special guest, what's his name again?
Brandon Saglow and Dan Soder.
Yeah, that was a good time. Not overly familiar with the podcast, but it was a good show. Then after that, I saw Kill Tony. I tried to sign up for it. I didn't get picked. I enjoyed the show, but everybody that they pulled out of the bucket was terrible. Aside from a couple of ringers, they had the one guy. I don't know. He had crutches and something wrong with him.
Nice dude.
Joe Lee. I don't know.
Oh, it was a rock comic,
he's. I don't know. He was okay. He had won the spot or something on a previous Kill Tony when Lewis was in L.A. They flew him out, and Kim, what's Congdon? Her last name? She went Kim on Congdon. Last, yeah. But yeah, pretty much everybody else that they drew from the bucket was awful.
Who were the judges? Ari, Bonnie, and Rich Voss?
Yeah. And, the guy with the large wiener from the roast battle was playing the drums, and,
Oh, yes.
What's his name?
Did we talk about No Kid Roast Battle? I thought we did, yeah. I don't think we went into the people with the large penis. There was a man with a large penis who was a judge.
Yeah, there was a swinging hammer. I think we talked about... Or did we talk about Zach Amico's shockingly small penis? Was that just an off-mic conversation?
I think it might have been an off-mic conversation, but I don't think we talked. It was genuine. Yeah.
At one point, I don't remember which context of which show it was on. At some point this weekend, Tony Hinchcliffe made a comment about just how he enjoys seeing Zach Amico's penis retract further and further into his body, and this year it was pretty much just balls and piercing.
Yeah, it was phenomenal to see that tiny of a...
There was lots of tiny dicks out on that thing.
I mean, but his was really tiny. Would that be classified as micro?
I don't know. Well, he's also very fat, so, like, there's some extra padding that hides
it a bit.
It. But yeah, lots of
handsome men doing that naked roast with lots of very sort of angry looking tiny penises.
Yeah.
Which is not, I mean, I'm not trying to shame these guys because, I mean, as the owner of a severely mediocre penis.
There was the one strange set of genitals, I forget that guy's name.
The mental patient, the guy.
Autistic guy, it was the comment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure everybody on this festival was probably autistic to
probably,
some degree.
Yeah. But the weirdest thing about him was that...
His testicles had corners.
Yeah, it looks like his balls had an elbow in it.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Yeah.
Someone
called it a wishbone testicle. His testicles look like a wishbone.
Yeah, I think Big J was talking Big about J, it a yeah. lot during the bonfire yesterday. What did you do while I was at Kill Tony?
I just waited in line for that show with Attell.
That wasn't until 7. You must have been doing something else since then. Did you go in to see the earlier?
Oh no! Sorry,
Norman?
Sorry. Yes, that's the one.
Okay,
that's the one. I had Mark Norman, Ron Bennington, Joe List.
Did the Lucas brothers
were not there.
Oh no.
Shane Gillis was there. Instead of the Lucas brothers, it was Jake the Snake Roberts.
I saw a little bit of him later on during the day and. Yeah, got bored and left. It was terribly compelling.
I didn't watch it. Did he come out with the snake?
No. He was talking about... I don't know. I don't remember. It was wrestling related. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I guess I should have said this to you, but at the beginning, when I was waiting for Tuesdays, in line for Tuesdays with Stories, I caught a glimpse of Capital Wrestling. And in it, there is, and this is not good for the podcast, so I'll just try to, so I took a brief video of it, but the whole, I just got a glimpse of what was happening. And Capital Wrestling, they were just doing, in the ballroom, they had set up a pro wrestling ring. Mm-hmm. And they were having matches mostly with wrestlers, and then some with the comedians in with the wrestlers. I mean, it's a perfect match, really. But and then at one point there was the heel owner of the organization decides to come out and says to a crowd of dudes, he says, we need more female representation in Capital Wrestling, and everyone starts booing. And then there's like, and have more female representation, here is our newest tag team. And they bring out these two people, and they're both sort of ridiculous looking Brooklyn, sort of clearly crunchy people wearing, you know, pussy hats. And they pull out an easel instructing the crowd on what their pronouns are, and the crowd immediately started chanting. Like, this huge crowd of, must have been a couple of hundred people, like at least 100 people in there screaming, make me a sandwich and then show me your pussy. It's just men cheering. And then I just watched the guys we fucked, girls walked past me and just sort of shake their head. Which was, I mean, I imagine they were good sports about it. Like, there were some girls in there screaming that as well. Like, towards the outer edge, they were laughing about it.
Like I said earlier, despite the ridiculousness of this whole thing and the kind of sort of ironic, racist, and pedophile, and sexist, and homophobic stuff, like, I never really got any kind of an actual, genuine, ugly vibe the whole weekend. Everybody seemed pretty chill and having a good time, and it was just nice, and everybody was just appreciating. It was just jokes, and I did not see kind of. I'm sure that there was a contingent there, but it wasn't like the angry group of incels that the outside world probably thinks that the whole thing was.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody seemed nice.
It was very funny. I mean, because it was the after. What? It's not the aftermath. It's strange to call it the aftermath. I'll call it the afterglow of having to. Of everyone was so, sort of, there was this buzz about watching. Everyone was talking about how Louis came and
yeah.
He did the set and all of the we were talking about it. And by that I mean not only the people in line, but the people on stage were talking about it as well, and everyone had jokes about it.
Yeah.
And it's so strange because you don't, like, that's what I mean. Like, it feels, whatever the conversation is happening somewhere else, that is not what the vibe of this thing actually was. It didn't
feel very... Yeah, well, the references of it were just kind of, like, eye-rolling. Like, everybody that hears about this seems to be upset about it, but all of us were there, and it was just a fun time.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't... Nobody was put in danger.
No.
Or anything. And, really, really glad that we didn't miss out on the Louis C.K. Appearance. Is there anything that you missed that you feel regretful about?
It's hard to regret, because, like, you can't, you know, at some points I was like, I would have liked to watch the Legion of Skanks podcast, but I mean, at the same time I said, well, I have to watch Dave Attell.
It's
a pilgrimage.
We get to see him talk for a full hour, and then we get to see him do two separate, like, what, 20-minute sets?
Yeah, two 20-minute sets and just destroy with
I did pop up, and, like, I was in the room for what will probably be a historic Legion of Skanks podcast moment where Lewis was almost about to suck Ari Shafir's dick, and I didn't see him punch the dick. I knew he was went down, and I thought he was going to suck his dick, and I guess he punched him in his dick. Yeah. I had a hard time seeing. I was in the back. But, yeah. Well, that podcast, I assume, will be released, and I'll at least get to hear it. I don't know if anything exciting happened on today's Legion of Skanks podcast that we missed. They were at capacity. No. They would not let anybody else in.
It's interesting to watch the Watch Your Fucking deal. I mean, I was really interested to watch the crowd work show because...
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen more of that. I just saw a piece of it.
But from what I was getting, it was like... It's just as hard for even seasoned comics to pull something out of a crowd that's rough. Except for Big J. Okerson. That's the only person who seems to not have any trouble at all with crowd work. I've never seen him not do...
Yeah, well, even...
well with crowd
work. He's probably the only one that... does it regularly. This is kind of a one-off for
all of these people.
Like, yeah, they're not, they probably don't do a lot of crowd work in their regular sets, so
yeah,
this
probably.
Is kind of a novelty. But Big J probably does crowd work every time he does a set.
Yeah, it was great to watch Tim Dillon up there. I was like, happy I got to see him a little bit, even though it wasn't a full...
Did he do an actual set?
No, it was point? It was Watch Your Fucking... It was just
crowd work. Was he on a different show? Or
oh, yeah, he was... I guess he was popping up in other places. People were doing stand-up sets. And Shane Gillis. I was really glad I got to watch Shane Gillis, too.
Yeah, I saw him, like, hosting, but it was after... The hosts on more so today. I think the hosts were doing more time on Friday, and I feel like it got scaled back each day.
The one big surprise, I should say this, is Corinne Fisher. I was very surprised at how much... not that she needs my approval, but I was very surprised. She was great as a host. Imagine hosting a show where you have to bring up the person who you look up to in comedy. It's like, your tell is...
Yeah.
It's rough, and... She did great. I thought she was very funny. She had a great story about... She had a great story about going to a concert with Rod Stewart, and she had some... She had a great analogy about religion that was... I'd never thought about it in those terms, but whenever she puts out her special, I guess you can hear it, but... Very great. Great. Shane Gillis had a great... I didn't think you could improve on 9/11 material, but he certainly managed to do it.
When I saw him, he was just kind of bringing up the next person. He wasn't really doing any material.
No.
You left on Gilbert Gottfried in the first show. I stuck around for like one more joke that he did before I wasn't really feeling it. It's cool to see him, but I don't know, that style of joke is kind of old-fashioned.
Yeah,
I guess, and that's kind of part of the fun of it. Although I did see him again on the 9 p.m. show, and I assume it was the exact same set because the first three jokes that he did were the same that he started with before.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he just won me over or if the back half of the set was better. I don't think I laughed out loud, but it was cool to see.
He was. Following Attell, which is a very strange thing to have Gilbert Gottfried follow Dave Attell. Which, I mean, because Attell is in there and he's just murdering, like he's just destroying. I mean, he just leveled that room. Just killer. And he, and everything, his references are top, like, up to date. They're very. You know, they're very evocative. They don't require a lot of... You don't require a lot of groundwork. But you have to do a little bit of sort of... You have to lean into Gilbert Gottfried a little bit. You have to give in to the...
Yeah, well, he's got
throwback.
A lot of goodwill and patience built in just because he's kind of a legend.
Yeah.
It was interesting seeing... all these people like multiple times and just seeing just the difference how people work. Some people just did the same set like on back-to-back shows. Some people we saw them a bunch of times and they never repeated a word. Some people were somewhere in between, which was interesting to see.
Yeah. Mark Normand. Yeah, I got to see Mark Normand. He was pretty good. He was great. Who else did we watch? I watched Kurt Metzger again. And great. Still great. You know. Still feel bad about bringing up the... you know, bringing up his own joke in the middle of a melee, but...
Stop feeling bad about everything. It's just a thing that happened.
You know.
Being upset about it isn't...
I know. You
need a cleansing crystal.
Well, I have... yeah.
Wash away these negativity.
You're right.
Have you thought about getting one of those magnetic bracelets?
No, listen, I'm gonna... I have a bathtub full of kombucha that I'm going to lay in.
Okay, just that'll so probably take care of it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's actually just fresh garbage that I got from the outside, and I just put it in. Put some water.
Thing.
Okay, yeah, right.
That's how it's made.
I think that's right. You just empty out the compost, fill it up with hot water, and then just sit in
it.
I
think
right?
they collect all of the 10-foot tall piles of garbage bags from Brooklyn.
Yeah,
you put that into a certain place, and they extract some kind of yeast from it.
Yeah. You just get a bunch of like,
and then you just mix it with local garbage water.
Yeah, eggshells and or broccoli and you know, some rotten spinach, and you just sit in it, and that's how kombucha is made.
Yeah. So that's Gankfest is a wrap. We've got we've got a few hours to do some New York adventuring tomorrow, and then back on the plane.
Leaving on a jet plane is what we're doing.
I forget what the next lyric is.
Don't know when I'll be back again.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate to go. It's John Denver.
No, it's that Canadian one that married Our Lady Peace guy.
Oh, I'm leaving on
a... It's probably a cover.
Yeah, what?
It's Chantal Kravyazuk.
No, what? Chantal Kravyazuk? No, it's John Denver.
I'm pretty sure. It's hers now.
Okay, sorry, yeah. Once she does it, it is... I'm the captain now. That's right.
Yeah, no, they destroy all previous recordings. This was on the Much Music Top 30 for many weeks.
Was it John Denver? Maybe I got the person wrong. Maybe it's someone else.
I don't know. I'm only familiar with the Chantal Kravyazuk version.
Shame on you, man.
And anyway, maybe we've got a 2.5-hour layover tomorrow. Maybe we'll do something in the airport.
Sex. We will have sex in the airport.
Yeah.
That's what we mean. But that's what he means by saying something. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's just going to be to set up the joke when, you know, we go through customs. They'll say, well, an Indian man was handling my bag.
Well, I think that's about as good of a...
And then we'll get cavity searches and it'll be a great time.
I'll just lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alright. I've got to edit Monday's radio show.
Holy shit, dude. You have a long night ahead of you.
It's not going to take long.
Okay, well, you have a short night ahead of you. Fine.
Alright.
Be like that.